Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shit podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Today, I have an amazing guest who is here to share her own story and how she went from years of struggling to recovery. So for any of you out there who have doubts that you can recover, please sit back, find a quiet place, and take the time to listen to this inspiring story. Amy Ferraro has been married for 25 years and is a mom to a 17-year-old son with autism and a 22-year-old daughter. She has a BS degree in elementary education and family studies and a master's degree in early childhood education. She dealt with binge eating disorder and atypical anorexia for 30 years. About 3 years ago, she developed Kick Ed's Butt, a social media forum to support anyone that suffers with an eating disorder. Well, Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, I really appreciate that you're here and willing to talk about your own story. So I'm just wondering, since you're here, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your story?
Sure. I started having an eating disorder when I was a teenager in high school. I went through a lot of bullying and kids were just mean, and I started restricting, and then I kind of settled down with that for a while once my parents kind of confronted me and said, you know, you need to really start eating. And it was one of those things where it kind of put me off, but I always listened to my parents. So I was like, okay. But then once I hit college and was living on my own, I was doing the binging started, and I binged for like 30 years through my marriage. I've been married to my husband 25 years, and most of my marriage, my husband didn't even know I was binging. I would go all day and not eat and then binge at night. And what happened was, probably about 5 years ago, I started having these excruciating headaches and spent lots of time in the hospital and was diagnosed with pseudotumor cerebri, which is, it means fake brain tumor. So you have all the symptoms of a brain tumor,
but it's
extra fluid in your brain. So I had to get two brain surgeries, and I have some equipment now in my brain that's taken the fluid out of my brain. So I don't have the excruciating headaches anymore. But the reason why I bring that up is I had a 25-year career working with children and families, working in the field of child abuse, and I ended up becoming disabled and couldn't work. And the issue, I have like memory issues, I have issues with my balance, I have some lasting effects from that, and I still have headaches constantly, migraines constantly. So I ended up became disabled and couldn't work anymore. So I was home. And being home, my husband was noticing food disappearing fast. And he is like, what is going on? And I kind of avoided it for a little while. But I finally did admit that I've been binging for all these years. And what happened was, it was to the point where like I couldn't control it. And I talked to my doctor about it, and I ended up going to residential treatment for binge eating disorder. And I did IOP and PHP afterwards and before. I actually did outpatient before. I went to residential treatment and then I did outpatient after. And so also during that time, I was diagnosed with atypical anorexia because of the restriction that I was doing. So I struggled with both, but it was the best thing that happened that I finally all came out because my parents were supportive, my husband was supportive, my kids were supportive, and I decided to focus on it. So then after I get out of treatment, which is probably like 4 years now, about a year after that, I was kind of just sitting asleep with night because I have trouble sleeping a lot. So I was up and I said, I really want to make some kind of support for people with eating disorders. And so one night I just came up with Kick Ed's Butt. And it's like a funny name because I laugh every time I say it because I'm like, why did I come up with that? But it's really the truth. The truth is that I am working on kicking Ed's butt every day. And so I ended up making a Facebook page, a Facebook support group. I have an Instagram page, and I just post like positive encouragement for people with eating disorders because I feel like people just need that encouragement to know that they're worthy and worthwhile of treatment and they're worthy of recovery. And recovery is hard, and I put it out there too, but recovery is possible. I have not had a behavior in like 3 years, and it's a struggle every day. But because of the encouragement that I've given for kids that kick at butt, I get messages constantly for people wanting support, having questions, and it just really has turned into something positive for me because I'm able to help support people through this process, which is a long, hard process.
Well, that, I mean, what a trajectory, right? And I know you, you know, succinctly in the very short period of time just went over kind of like your whole life from, you know, being a teenager to now. And I'm just wondering, going back to, I know you said you were bullied, and I know a lot of people listening can very much relate to that and that kind of being one of the main triggers to people starting to kind of manipulate food and want to change their bodies. And if you think back to that time, do you think there were any other factors that contributed, or do you think that was like the main one where you just felt like, okay, I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't like how my peers are treating me. This is really awful. I want to do something, and this is the only thing I feel like I can do right now.
That was the main thing. But when I started losing weight in high school, I remember this person that worked at the school that specifically came to me and said, you lost weight. You look really good. I've always been in a bigger body, you know, since high school. And when someone made that comment to me, it was like, all right, now I'm going to really work on that and work on losing weight. And I've always, my whole adult life have been on diets and tried so many things to lose weight. And now I'm focusing on you're beautiful no matter what size you are. And the other thing I'm focusing on is that you can have an eating disorder in a bigger body, because I had doctors constantly tell me over the years, you gotta lose weight, you have to lose weight, and not focusing on that I could have had an eating disorder during all that.
And I love that you brought up just two things that are so important. You know, I hear that constantly from people, and I even experienced that myself when there's a change in the body and, you know, someone makes that comment, oh, you look great. You know, it's kind of this feeling that's like, oh, I want that feeling again. I want to be noticed. And it can be very intoxicating and feel like, oh, I need to keep doing this, and kind of propels people on this path to their eating disorder and maintaining it. And to your point, like continuing on with the diets, like I got to keep doing this. This is what's getting me positive attention. This is what feels good. Right. And I wish there was some way to get out the message to the world, like, do not make comments about people's appearance or their bodies, especially if they lose weight. And I don't know how we can stop that. But every time I hear somebody say that, like I was watching a show the other day on TV, and the host said, wow, man, you look like you lost weight. You look great. And I just cringed. I went, oh, gosh, you know, that's just such an awful message to the world, whoever's listening. Like, why does that have to be the comment? Why does that even have to be a thing? Because I think to your point, it's like I've heard lots of people talk about how that was one main thing that just kind of was the impetus to everything. But also to your point, you know, nobody knows what you have going on just by your appearance or the size of your body or your weight. And so many people with eating disorders go into the doctor and they don't get the right diagnosis, and they get very wrong information that actually perpetuates their eating disorder. You know, if you're being told to do all these things that you're probably already doing, right? Like, how much more could you be doing with eating less and exercising more to lose weight when you are probably, sounds like, doing so many things?
Yes. And it was just so hard to hear all these years, lose weight. Like, I have fibromyalgia and some other physical issues that I deal with. And you go to doctors and they're like, you have fibromyalgia because you're heavy. And I was like, what? And they're like, you got to lose weight and then your fibromyalgia would be so much better. And I finally had a rheumatologist when we lived in Maryland, which was a year ago. We just moved to Florida. But when I was in Maryland, this rheumatologist, I went into his office and I said to him the first visit, I said, if you're going to tell me my weight is an issue because of this fibromyalgia, I'm not even going to sit here and listen to you, basically. And he said to me, I wasn't even going to mention your weight. And I fell in love with this doctor because he's the only doctor that I've had for all these years that said, I'm not going to put weight as a factor for this chronic illness. And I was so relieved and happy that he was like that. And it's very rare. And to have, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, having these medical professionals, you go in with an eating disorder and a bigger body, and it's like, lose weight. And never once did anyone think of asking me what my eating habits were, if I was having issues. And the only reason I finally got into treatment is because I brought it up myself with my doctor and said, you know, this is what's been going on for all these years. And I had one that was like, oh, that's an eating disorder. But again, it took all these years of doctors to finally get one to even help me pursue treatment.
Sounds like you found a good one. I mean, I can relate with you. I remember going into the doctor asking, wanting help and saying, look, I'm hardly eating anything. I'm exercising so much and I keep gaining weight. Please help me. I don't know. I feel out of control. And the doctor said, you know, it's okay. You know, people really underestimate how much they eat. Why don't you just eat less? And I was like, wow. Floored. I was like, how much less can I eat? You know, to your point, atypical anorexia. I've talked about it on here. I think I weighed the most when I was in my anorexia than any other time in my life. And, you know, I kept getting told the same thing as you, just eat less, exercise more. Nobody really took me seriously. I was like, what am I doing here? What's happening?
Yeah, it's just so frustrating. And like, I still, just struggle with that. Like I said, we just moved to Florida and I am finding all new doctors down here right as we speak. And it is like, I'm frustrated, not frustrated, I guess that's not the right word, but I'm just trying to avoid looking for doctors because I just don't want to go into the weight conversations with everybody. So I have so many chronic conditions that I need to see specialists. So I can't avoid it either. But it's just the thought of new doctors, what are they going to say?
Well, and that makes me sad to hear too. And I hear this all the time that, you know, there needs to be more doctors educated about eating disorders and just not to have the weight bias and not assume to know what people are doing or not doing with their food. But also, you know, there's just, why is that an issue? Like, I'm a strong advocate for, you know, fine, take the blood pressure, take my temperature, but why do we need to have our weight taken? What does that have to do with your health condition?
Yeah, I totally agree. And like with me being in a bigger body, all my tests, my blood work, my blood pressure, everything is normal. Mm-hmm. Like when I go to the doctor. So it's not like I am showing signs of any type of weight related issues.
Mm-hmm.
All my issues are chronic illnesses that don't matter. It doesn't matter what your weight is.
Right. I was just thinking about what you were diagnosed with your brain and thinking, what does that have to do with your weight? Like, nothing. And I mean, just that alone, like that must have been very scary. How did you realize something was going on? Did you feel like you had a lot of headaches and then that, like, they give you an MRI or CAT scan? Like, what happened there for you?
I was just constantly being put in the hospital for migraines, and they were treating me for migraines, but I was still having these headaches. And then this is how just chance happens. I was in the hospital, and it was the end of a month. And apparently at this hospital I was in, the doctors like worked the floor for a month, and then they go on to there's a new doctor that works the floor. So it was the end of the month, and they would just treat me for migraines. So the first day of the new month came, and a new doctor came in. And he said that I am your new doctor while you're in the hospital, whatever. And he said, there's more going on than migraines. I really think there is. And so he ended up did a lot of extra tests, MRI, spinal tap, and came to the conclusion that I had this. I had the extra fluid in my brain that was causing extra pressure in my head. And if it wasn't for that change of the month, I wouldn't have had this doctor who pursued it, because they were going to send me home. And he's like, I'm not going to send you home. I want to do more tests. And it was like, wow. This went on for a couple of years. I was in the hospital for migraines. So after a couple of years, I had a doctor that said, let's try something different. Let me test for some things. And I, again, thought I was going to fall off my chair because I had a doctor that was looking at things differently. And he's the one that diagnosed it when I was in the hospital. And then they put me through to surgery and all that. So I literally was so grateful for this doctor for finding out what was really wrong with me, because I was, my balance was off. I was falling. I was having headaches. And it was getting old though, because it was like going on for a couple of years and no one could figure it out. So it was a good thing. So I have a shunt and a stent in my brain to help the fluid flow. And I do get pressure headaches, like occasionally. Sometimes there is pressure, but mostly I do have chronic migraines on top of it. So I do get migraines throughout the month. But I'm doing okay. Not working is hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a career for 25 years that I loved. And so not working caused my binging to just go even more, because what I would do is when I was working, I was on the road a lot. I just like would go through a drive-thru, I would binge, come home, and you know, no one knew. But then at home, it wasn't just at night. It was when people were working and the house and the kids were at school and I had the house. So I was binging more. And so not working really triggered a lot in me because it was a feeling of, I don't know if inadequacy is the right word, but just I felt like I wasn't accomplishing anything being home. And now doing the Facebook groups, though, kind of give me something to do because I have a hard time still to this day that I can't work because I just feel like I love, but I was a workaholic in a way. So in a way, it's kind of good because I was able to be a mom. I just finished homeschooling my son. He's a senior. We got that.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And so I was able to do things that I wouldn't do working. So there's a lot of good out of it. There's just a little piece of me that still worries about not working because it was such a big part of me.
Well, and I can see why, you know, the food would be something that you would turn to cope, get maybe get companionship. And I'm wondering, you know, with that, when your husband started noticing more food disappearing, you know, a lot of people feel very shamed or feel like it's very secretive behavior engaging him. Were you like, how did you feel when he brought that up to you? Did you feel like, okay, fine, there's some relief, I can speak up and say something? Or were you kind of like, oh gosh, like, I don't want to say anything, this is embarrassing? Like, what was that like for you?
I was really embarrassed at first. There are times now when I don't binge, but maybe I'll overeat and the shame and guilt comes right back with the food. And that's a struggle that I have just had. I've always been so embarrassed. Every time I binge, the feelings afterwards, I just feel so bad that I did it. And when he brought that up, that he was noticing it, it was like, oh no, nothing's wrong. It's okay. I just, I've been eating on it, but I haven't, you know, eaten a lot. Like, I just made up those excuses until one day I started thinking about it and I was looking up and eating and I said, no, this is really what is going on with me. The feelings with the food issues were just out of control. And I was just feeling guilty all the time for eating.
So was there a point at which you said, okay, like after you, I mean, interestingly enough, I'm wondering what got you to the point where you even looked it up.
I think with my husband mentioning it, I just all of a sudden decided to look it up. I think I finally just was realizing it was becoming an issue. And when I did look it up and was reading all about binge eating and the feelings, I was like, there is a lot here. And then I said to my husband, I said, maybe I should mention it to the doctor and just see what he says. And I was thinking I was going to get, oh, there's nothing wrong, you're fine, you know, just lose weight. But he was like, no, that really sounds like it. I really want you to go to this place that does eating disorders and have you do an assessment there. And I said, okay. So I went and did the assessment and the girl automatically thought I could do residential. And I called my mom because my mom had known I was going to do the assessment. But I said, you know, I just do a lot of overeating and stuff. I just want to see what they say. And I didn't really get into a lot of it with my mother, but I got in the car and I called my mom and I said, this girl thinks I need to go to residential treatment for my eating. And I'm like, I don't know what to even think about it. Because I did not think it was anywhere what she was saying. But then I think insurance wanted me to do the outpatient stuff, stuff first. And so I started that. And like I would go home after PHP and I would binge. Like the minute I walked in the door, I would just eat. And I had said to my therapist, I said, I really am thinking I need residential. I'm like, I can't even, when I get home, I can't even not binge the minute I get home. And then I would not eat all day. Coffee was my breakfast. And then I would just binge. And then I went to PHP and they served you meals. And I wasn't even eating my meals there because I was just saving it up for my binge, I think. And so they finally did get me into residential treatment. And I was there for a week and insurance cut me. And they sent me home. So then I went back to PHP and they ended up got me approved for residential again. And I got to residential for a month. I was there for a month and then insurance cut me again.
Oh my goodness. And
that was the other issue I dealt with all through treatment, even when I went back to PHP after treatment. Insurance cut me from PHP because of my numbers didn't show I was sick enough. And
so angry to hear these things. The hurdles.
Yeah, I struggled so much with insurance cutting me several times throughout the process, and I would have to try something different and just frustrated. And that's the one thing that I really try to promote also is that it's not about the number. It's about the behaviors. And I felt like I wasn't ready to leave residential. I felt like I wasn't ready to leave PHP when I finally did, because I was finally starting, like, you get to a point where you're finally like giving in and saying, yes, I need to do this stuff. And I was at that point and all of a sudden insurance cut me several times. So that was a big struggle with being in a bigger body, having an eating disorder, because my numbers did not show I was struggling with an eating disorder.
And I know there's people listening that can relate to that and probably just frustrated and angry with you just even listening to this, but you know, you did bring up the term atypical anorexia. And so for anyone listening who does not know what that is, can you describe what that is? Because that is very relevant to the criteria and why you did get cut off, I'm assuming, right, with the numbers and the insurance.
Yeah, it's having pretty much the symptoms of anorexia, but you don't have body weight. But I had the restriction and I was having health issues. I have osteopenia in both my hips because of having an eating disorder. I'm 48. I can't remember how old I am. I'm 48. And I have osteopenia in both my hips due to malnutrition that I dealt with for years. And that was, you know, it was good to finally get diagnosed with the atypical anorexia, but insurance doesn't recognize that. Right. They look at it as the number on the scale, and they're not looking at your behaviors. And my behaviors were, you know, typical of someone with anorexia.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, unfortunately, an actual diagnosis in our diagnostic manual. I mean, we all know what it is, but, you know, when it comes down to insurance things, I just hear your frustration. And, you know, it sounds like it was just so choppy. And I'm wondering, like, for you, how long was it for you to get to the point where you felt like, okay, I am in recovery. I don't need the higher level of care, like an IOP or PHP or even residential. Like, well, how long was that for you?
It took me a couple years after treatment, maybe like 2 years after treatment, where I finally felt like I was at the point of being like not needing anything. Mm-hmm. And but I've been in therapy for ever since I left PHP. I had had good therapists that I dealt with my eating disorder with. And I think going through that process had helped. And I was able to see a dietitian a couple times after I left. So having those supports really helped. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I finally was able to start feeling like I was in recovery, because before I felt like, even like 2 years out, I felt like I was in my eating disorder. I wasn't having the behaviors as much, but I was still feeling like I'm the same, you know, nothing changed. And then working through it with my therapist, I realized that I was actually in a better place than I was. Mm-hmm. And the word recovery started coming up in conversations. And the more we talked about it, the more I realized that, yes, I am in recovery right now. I am not having behaviors. When I have a thought, I'm not acting on the thought. And I'm able to, you know, do something, watch TV, call my mom. She's a big support. I call her every day. You know, talk to my husband. You know, I've had other things to replace those behaviors. So it really did come, even though I didn't think it was.
Len, I'm wondering, did you ever, was that a thought in your mind, like, oh, I'm never going to get over this, I'm never going to reach recovery? Because I know that that's a big thing I promote on here. Like, I hate that myth out there that you're never going to really get over it, it's always going to be with you. And like, I wonder if that was like a great conversation to have with their therapist, like, oh, wait a minute, like, here I am, I'm doing this and it's different, and you know, there's, I don't have to go back to that space I was in.
Yeah, it really was a time of good conversation with my therapist when I realized that and was able to talk in a more positive way. And then I was more active in my Facebook groups because I felt the feeling of recovery. And that's when I was, I'm going to start showing everybody that recovery is possible. Mm-hmm. It is possible. And I do a lot of my posts about recovery being possible and that you can do it. It does happen and it's hard, but you can do it. And I want people to know, if they have no other support out there, that someone supports them saying you can do it.
No, and that is so inspiring. And it sounds like for you, it's been part of your process and it's something that, you know, sustains you as well. But it sounds like you've helped so many people. And I know that that's how I even found you on Instagram is, you know, your posts are fantastic. And I see how much support you give people. And so, you know, in that note, if anyone out here listening is going, hey, how do I get this support? How do I find Amy? How can they find you? How can they get your support and see your posts and get some encouragement?
Yeah, on Facebook, all you have to do is search Kick Ed's Butt and there will come up a Facebook page and a Facebook support group. And then on Instagram, it's kind of long. I don't know why I did it this way, but it's kick_eds_butt, B-U-T-T, _ eating disorders. And just look that up and you'll find me. And if you really can't find me for some reason, you can always email me. I will give out my email because I don't mind if people email me and say, I can't find you. I've been looking for you. It's Amy, A-M-Y, C as in cat, Ferraro, F-E-R-R-A-R-O @gmail.com.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being such a great resource and your willingness to reach out to people or have them reach out to you as well. So any last words for anyone who's listening before we end?
Yeah, I just want to remind people that recovery is a process, and sometimes you go up and sometimes you go down and sometimes you go back up and down, and it is a process, but recovery is possible, and you are special and you are just wonderful and you will get through it. And if you ever need support, definitely contact me. It's nice to talk to people who've been through it. It makes it more relatable when you're talking to someone that's been through it. So definitely, I'm always available.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being here and sharing your story and sharing all the resources you have for people out there who, you know, do need the support, because truly in those moments where you're just feeling so alone and feel like, you know, you're hitting rock bottom, that's really an important resource to have. So thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being able to share my story.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.